You know it's bad when the sermon's going to be so long that even I need something to play with during it. I want to talk about Play-Doh today. You probably noticed in the lobby there is a big, huge table of Play-Doh. You are welcome to take one of those little pieces of Play-Doh home with you this week. Maybe it needs to sit by your desk. Maybe it's going to sit near your counter, and maybe during the course of this sermon you will figure out why. It's because I'm sponsored by Play-Doh this week, and Melody's going to get a lifetime supply if I just mention it in a sermon. It's great. No, we're talking about something really specific here, and I like silly little reminders that have great big meanings, and so we're going to engage in this today with some Play-Doh. Now, I have two very special guest co-preachers today. So, Charlie and Sam, would you come on up here? Everybody give Charlie and Sam big, huge round of applause. Charlie, you're going to be yellow, and I would like to put you right here. And Sam, you're going to be on that side, okay? And what is this?
That's my rock.
Okay, all right. Jesus is your rock. Amen. All right, now, that's a pastor Jesus joke. Okay, here's what's going to happen. You guys have 40 seconds to build and mold the very best horse that you can, okay? Now, they did not know that that's what I was going to pick. I just got to pick anything. So, but you need to make a horse, okay? You know what that is?
Yep, yep.
Okay,
you
good. All right, are you ready? Count it down with me, guys. 3, 2, 1, go! Okay, who will win? Now then, once they have constructed these beautiful pieces of art, then we will do round of applause to see whether yellow or orange will win, okay? You're down to about 25 seconds right now, okay?
Wow.
Do you feel the stress? Don't you love, this is how I train people to deal with pressure. Play-Doh, woo. Okay, I see some legs. I think that's the head and the nose on yours, Charlie. I think that's pretty great. Okay, 3, 2, 1, stop! Good job. Okay, now, Sam, would you proudly display your creation? Everybody give Sam a round of applause. Yeah, good job, Sam! Okay, Charlie, please display to the best of your ability good job, Charlie! Okay, now, in the spirit of Christian love and competition, how many of you think that Charlie's takes the win today? Whoa, okay, couple. Whoa, I'll clap for you, Charlie. It's okay. Now, Charlie happens to know that he is deeply loved by Dallas Church, so I don't feel bad about this.
You're still a good person.
Yeah, okay, and then round of applause for Sam, if he was the winner. Okay, all right, there you go. You guys get to take that Play-Doh with you, because I need it not on my stage, okay?
That's a real one for this.
Yeah, okay, and then take this one down with you too. Okay, cool. All right, there you go. That was my excuse. What a great week to do it too, because week one of new carpet is the perfect week for the pastor to give everyone Play-Doh. That is the only reason why you have to get your Play-Doh as you go out, and I didn't distribute it to all of you as little fidget toys during the sermon. So, but let's talk about Play-Doh. My daughter loves Play-Doh. Raise your hand if you have made something out of Play-Doh before. Have you? Whoa, everybody. Okay, so when I opened the dark blue Play-Doh yesterday, I was hit with the scent of Play-Doh. And there was just this combination of the visual and then the scent power. And I was like, no, I totally remember what my dad and I used to make out of Play-Doh this color, and it was Batman. And so, because this is the color of Batman, right? Or at least it was when I was a kid. So, here is some Play-Doh that I left out yesterday. And is this the Play-Doh you want to mold something out of? No, it's gross. It's crusty. I have a 3-year-old at my house. Do you know what the underside of my dinner table looks like? I am very familiar with dry Play-Doh. Can you mold dry Play-Doh into a masterpiece? Maybe if you try really hard, right? It'd take a miracle, okay? Could be done. This stuff I opened this morning, and it's been in its little container, protected. Can I mold this into something pretty cool? Well, I can't, but someone could, right? That's, yes. Notice I had someone else do the molding to show it, because my ego can't handle you guys deciding whether what I made was good or not. So Play-Doh is really fun, but here's the thing about Play-Doh. Good Play-Doh is moldable. You can work with it. If I push on it, it's gonna go how I want it to. If I squeeze it, it molds, okay? Other Play-Doh, not so much. And I wonder if maybe there's a lesson in there. And let's see what God's word would have to say about that. Let's pray. Father God, we invite you to speak to us. God, we pray that your word would show us who you're shaping us into being. God, we open ourselves to ways that you would call us to be different this week than we were last week. We trust you, and it is in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we are in a series here at Dallas Church called Whole, in which we are pursuing what does it mean to be a whole person? And here's what I know about all of us in the room. We have had our heart broken to some level. We have been disappointed. We have got bumps and bruises on our souls. There are parts of our personality that are rough edges that might need to be sanded down. And the journey of following Jesus, and I just believe, okay, so we're in church, I am a pastor, you knew this before I opened my mouth, but I believe that in the journey of following Jesus, we are made whole as people, that those rough edges are sanded off, that those broken parts of our heart can be remade. My daughter watches a lot of Peppa Pig, and so they use the word mended. That is not a word that I used when I was three, but my daughter's like, Dad, can you mend this? And I'm like, okay. Cheerio. Yeah, like, I don't, like, okay. All right. And so Play-Doh is a silly analogy about the way that in pursuing wholeheartedness, we want God to mold us. We want God to shape us and change us. There's actually an entire section of my little library at my house that is tagged the spiritual formation. And you could actually look this up if you like went to, maybe Amazon might give you good stuff, but like some places, like if you went and searched in this section of spiritual formation, there would be these books and these resources from people who have pursued this idea of being whole in our hearts, being a complete person, of being formed into something. Because as humans, I think that we are a creation that is being formed by God. And so when I ask the question, so in this series of whole, like we are looking at, we've looked at, are we available? Are we interruptible? Are we open to God showing up and taking our schedule and doing something different with it than what we planned? And you can just go ahead and take a deep breath and calm yourself after that, because I felt the anxiety where I was like, ooh, I don't know about that. I like to be in control. But here's also what I know, is that being available, interruptible, being moldable, that is not an exhaustive or complete list. You're not going to achieve self-actualization just by doing those three things. But maybe it's a good start. And maybe, like, how cool would it be if as a church, like as a group of people, in a couple months, after some time of walking with Jesus and being open to what he would call us to, what if we were 10% more wholehearted people? What if we were a little less fractured than we were at the beginning of this series or this journey? What if in 2024, what God would have for us is to be people deeply connected to him and to ourselves and to the people that he is making us to be? And so I ask the question when it comes to today's topic of moldable, are we moldable? Are we open? Are we available? And what do I mean when I'm talking about moldable? I'm talking about raw materials that can be shaped into something else. And I know many of us have created something. We have made something. We took raw materials and we shaped it into something else. Charlie, Sam, they're great. They took the raw material of Play-Doh and they shaped it into, in 40 seconds, something approximating a horse. Great. I've got a buddy, and his thing is he has modified his car. And so the raw material that he has, like, I'm like, that is kind of a junky car. And he's like, no, watch this. Like, he put the engine in, he ripped the seats out of the back, and it goes faster than I'm comfortable going in a car. And he's created, he's crafted, he's molded this thing into something else. There is a quilt at our house and in our family that my wife's grandma made. And it is the comfiest quilt in all of creation. It is my favorite thing. And I know that you wanted to know today that your pastor's basically Linus, because that's like, I have a blankie and I love it. But I actually do, because when baby Melody was like 2 weeks old and we're up in the middle of the night and she's crying and I'm like all escalated and I wrap myself in that quilt, it just felt good. It's my comfy, happy place. Well, imagine if we just had the raw materials of the quilt sitting around. Okay, fabric, some stuffing. I don't even know what else is in this thing, but it's great. Like, but imagine, right, if like, so my daughter's crying, it's the middle of the night, and we all need to be comforted, and so I grab fabric, stuffing, all in a pile. Is that going to help me? Maybe if I had some quilting skills and a couple hours on my hands, right? But it's raw material, and we've done this. We do it with paintings, and we take canvas, and we take paint, and we shape it into something really cool. With woodworking, some of you who are more skilled than me, like you have wood, and you take tools, and you make it into something really cool. With cooking, with Legos. This morning, I took beans that were grown on the other side of the world, and I carefully crafted, I put them in my grinder, and I ground them up. And then I took my little gooseneck kettle, and I put it on my stove, and I heated the water to exactly 220 degrees. And then I poured it on, and I crafted out of these beans the liquid that would sustain me for the morning. Like, we do this, we craft things. We shape things out of raw material. And so here's the really important question. What is God doing to shape you? What has God done to shape you? How have you been shaped? Because we all have been. We're all pieces of Play-Doh getting shaped into something. We've had experiences. And from those experiences, we crafted images and beliefs about ourselves and about the world around us. We've had people that have come alongside us. And have you ever had the exact right person at the exact right time come alongside you, exactly how you needed? You think that was you? You think that was a cosmic accident? Or what if the hand of God is moving in our life? And then here's another question underneath that question, because that's all we're doing today is we're just asking questions. Do you like who God is shaping you to be? Do you like that person? That's okay. First service had a lot of tension at this too. Yeah, it's all right. Does God like that person? When you look in the mirror, you look at where you're at, you think God likes that person? And that's a loaded question. That's a really big question. And actually, depending on what you grew up with, and once again, we talked about those situations and experiences. Now, maybe you grew up in some sort of religious, spiritual context that emphasized the brokenness of humans. Because we just know, like, there are icky portions of our heart. Like, everything that goes on in here is not necessarily good. And some places have kind of amplified that or focused on it and been so focused on how do we cut sin out of your life that maybe when I ask that question, you get a little bit triggered. And when I say, how does God feel about you? All of a sudden, like, you're running the list of, okay, well, I, you know, said this, I did this, this was wrong, this is wrong. If we ask yourself, like, you look at you in the mirror, you take stock of your life, do you have a laundry list of things that you're like, I don't like where I'm at? Finances, I don't like where I'm at in my marriage, I don't like where I'm at with my job. I think all of us have some areas where we're like, oh, I just wish that would look better. Or maybe you're a lot cooler than me, and you just, you know, get out of the shower, walk by the mirror, and go, oh, yeah, like, that's working out. Because that's not how I feel about my life. And I've sat with people, and I've heard them say, people who take communion on Sunday morning, people who say, I believe in the gospel of Jesus, meaning the good news that God doesn't give up on people. And I've heard them say, well, I'm just a failure. And I shouldn't try that new thing because I fail at everything else. Is that the gospel of Jesus? Is that what's in line with the text of Scripture? That you're so broken, you can't do anything about it? Well, maybe there's someone who can. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, okay, how does God look at you? Ephesians 2:10. So this is after Paul has kind of extrapolated and he's talked about this is the good news of Jesus, that we were far from God, that there is ickiness in the human soul, and that the love of God is that he pursues us anyways and he brings us into connection with him. Therefore, oh, I even cut out the therefore. It just says for in this one, but that's what it's there for. There you go. All right. So for we are his, and what's the word there that's underlined? Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So how does God see you? Where you're at? Does he see the laundry list of like, well, you know, this person really needs to be here in their marriage and here in their finances and here over here, and I really wish Andrew would just go to the gym occasionally. Like, is that what God sees? That's not what I see here. It says that we are his, turn to your neighbor, say workmanship. Workmanship. That is a really weird word, and I challenged First Service and told them if you come back next week and say, I managed to work the word workmanship into a conversation at the water cooler, I'll give you $5, because this is just crazy. What does it mean? Well, it's this image of something that is created out of raw material, something that is crafted. Maybe it's even something that, like, when you have a big project and an apprentice is trying to show their mastery of something, they pour their heart and their soul into this project. That's what we are, guys. Projects. We're a work in progress. I love the fact that our campus right now is a little tore up, because I love this illustration right now. Because what are we doing around here? In the words of my daughter, you're making a big mess. That's what you're doing, right? But what'd we do? We tore out some of the old, and we're putting in the new. And so last week, when I welcomed people to Dallas Church, I said, welcome to Dallas Church, for we are a church that is undergoing renovation. Also, we're working on the building. Because we're a church. Like, our hearts, ourselves, as people, God is molding us into something else. And so if there's something you don't like about you, and last service I said, if there's something about me you don't like about me, but I know it's when there's something about me that you don't like about me. It's because I'm a work in progress. You're a work in progress. God is working on us. And so when we are on the journey, when we're walking in the trail, that doesn't mean that we're a failure because we still have some growth to do. That doesn't mean that we're losing at the Jesus thing because we've got areas we can grow in. That means that we have opportunities for God to mold us and shape us. And as we do that, we become the best versions of ourselves. Because our Creator is crafting us and shaping us on purpose to become who He wants us to be. And I know it's kind of scary to submit yourself to a program, to a shaping or molding process. And sometimes I've heard people ask this. They're like, well, if I give my life to Jesus, like, what's He going to do with it after I give it up? Will I still be me? And sometimes we push back. We're like, I don't know that I want to go all in. Like, I don't want to be one of those, like, evangelomaniacs that are all caught up in this weird image of religiosity where we lose our identity. And that's not at all the case. Because we're individual workmanship. We are handmade creations. God's not churning it out on a factory. Like, He's taking His time. And that's why it's taken me so much time to grow. We become the most us, the youest version of you. And so maybe knowing that that's the process that God's going to put us through, maybe that changes our mindset. My wife is an educator, and she talks about growth mindset and fixed mindset. Fixed mindset walks into a situation and says, this is where it's at, this is where it will be forever. So kids walk into her classroom, and she taught math for a number of years. And we just have emotional support for everybody. When I said the M word, I know, it's okay. It's safe. Church is a safe place. No, but we do this. Like, we're like, well, I'm just not good at math, so I can't math. I'll leave it to the people that can math. And that's a fixed mindset. I'm not good at parenting. I'll just leave it to the people that can parent. I'm not good at finance. I'll leave it to the people that can finance. Well, no. What about a growth mindset that says, this is where I am, and what if I took two steps forward? I could get that much better. Do you know how long it takes you to get 5 minutes better at something? 5 minutes. It's not a trick question. And I wonder with us, like, if we could embrace the fact that God is working in the mess and in the process, I wonder if that could cause us to be more open. And maybe we might have a little bit more grace for ourselves. We might have a little bit more grace for other people. And maybe we might be more in line with what the Bible actually teaches. Because do you know how many squeaky, clean figures that have no dirt on them at all are in the Bible? Like, three of them. Like, that's, and one of them is Jesus. And their names are not Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Although that would have been good. That would have been really good. But no, there's this thing. So God chooses, okay, Jacob and Esau. Jacob's a mama's boy, sits at home. He, like, does these underhanded deals. Esau is a strong tribal leader. Which one does God choose to build His tribe? Jacob. But when God shows up in Jacob's life, Jacob is changed. In the story of Saul and David, who does worse things? Who's more despicable, Saul and David? And a lot of us, we go to Saul. Okay, what's his crimes? Maybe you go look through that. Attempted murder. Yeah, that's pretty bad. David actually did murder. So, but why does God choose David? Because David, when he's confronted, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, God. I was wrong, and I want you to make me new." And when Saul is confronted, he says, nope, nothing wrong here. I'm fine and put together. And so how weird is it that, like, if you just think about the state of church in America and, like, the perception of Christians, which one do we look like? Which one do people experience? Broken people that are like, yep, we are messed up, but we are a work in progress. In the book of Jeremiah, in chapters 18 and 19, there's these two illustrations that God puts in Jeremiah's life. And this is my whole theological argument on why I'm allowed to have Plato at the stage. So please go with me on this. Okay, Jeremiah goes to the house of a potter, and he's supposed to watch as the potter is molding the clay, and he's shaping it. And God says, hey, Israel, This is what our relationship is supposed to be like. The clay doesn't argue with the potter. The clay doesn't ask the potter, hey, how long is this going to take? The clay is molded by the potter. And he says, Israel, that's what I want you to be like. And then in chapter 19, Jeremiah has to take a hardened clay pot. And he takes the spiritual leaders, the people of Israel, he takes them out of the city to the garbage dump. And he says, you guys are not listening. God is trying to mold you into something. And your heart is hard. And he takes the clay pot and he smashes it on the ground. That's pretty intense. What does God want us to be like? Jesus continues this in the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son says, I'm a mess. Father, please help me. And the oldest son says, I've done everything right. You owe me. In the story of the wedding feast, there are the elites and the royalty, and they're invited to the king's wedding, and they say, nope, no time. I'm not available. I'm not interruptible. It's because they didn't come to Dallas Church and hear those sermons, right? That's why. But the down and outs and the poor and the outcast, they're the ones that say, yes, I will come to the king's wedding. And so what if, as a church, we valued whether we were moldable and coachable instead of are we talented? Instead of are we just naturally gifted at this thing that we're doing? One of the most loving things that someone ever did in my life was in advanced preaching at Boise Bible College with Dr. Ben Williams. And he wrote in my evaluation at the end of my sermon, not bad for someone abusing their spiritual gift. Because I'm loud and I can say things in front of people. Like that's what I do. That's my gift. And he was like, yeah, but you didn't wrestle with it. And you didn't do the work. And you didn't really like let it soak into your heart and make a difference. And I wonder how many times, like in church, we think, well, I can't do that because I'm not talented at that. And maybe God's going, well, that's not part of the equation. The equation is, are you coachable in that? Are you willing to take a couple of steps? Are you moldable in that? So then, okay, we've established it's really important to be moldable. And in like 2 minutes, we got to figure out what does it mean to be molded into what? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so there are forces that are shaping us, and not all of them are good. Not all of them come from God. The world around us, the presence of this age, and maybe even some of the experiences we've gone through, we've learned lessons that don't line up with the truth of God. And so in this day and age, I think that it's a little bit of a battle of inputs and what we're letting speak to our heart and shape what we believe about ourselves. And instead of being conformed to everything around us, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind in the truth of God. And there's a verse that says, take every thought captive so that it obeys Jesus. Does every thought in your head obey Jesus? Not me. That's hard. That takes some discipline. That takes some evaluating. And maybe that'd be a good place for us to, instead of having a fixed mindset and say, nope, I can't do it, maybe that's a good opportunity for us to grow in. What if this week, this year, we were 1% better at that? We can be transformed. And in doing so, we engage in this thing called worship. And this is a very specific word for worship. And it's pretty interesting that what Romans would tell us, because this word means like the temple worship, the temple service, the ritual act. So in following Jesus, the ritual act that we engage in, this high point, this special thing, is the way we obey him Monday through Saturday. The way we are open to and shaped by Jesus in our life. And that happens in the way of our will. That's how we get that true worship, where we are molded into God's will, where we are in lockstep with how he thinks about our life and our world and what to do next. And so if you ever have come against the question, you're like, what in the world am I supposed to do? You ever asked that before? What should I do? What decision? I think asking the question of, well, who am I? Because when you know who you are, you know what to do. Because I'm trying to follow after my Father God. And God doesn't ask you to disconnect or unplug from the will, but rather take your will and walk in lockstep with his. At our house with my little girl, there was a period of probably like 4 to 6 weeks that were glorious, in which I would tell her to do something, and then you're not going to believe this, she would do it. It was great. And actually, it was pretty cute, because the way that she would do it is like, she was following me along on this project, and I'd be like, hey, Melody, pick this up, put it over there. And she'd go, okay, Dad, I will. And then we'd do something with her and show her how to do it. Okay, you got to do it this way. Okay, I will. That'd be a really good response for us to give to God, wouldn't it? I found in one of my prayer journals this week, it's actually written next to one of the Psalms, where it says, I hear from you, God. And I wrote down on there, I was like, God, I wish I would hear from you more. And then the question I wrote right underneath it that I feel like God hit me between the eyes with, he's like, well, then, Andrew, when are you listening? Maybe that's part of being moldable. Is having times in our life and in our day where we're like, okay, God, what are you going to do here? What would you have me do? Are you ready for the earth-shattering main point that I've got at the end of this message? It's going to come out of nowhere. You're going to be so surprised. Can we be people who are moldable? Can we be shaped? And hopefully that idea kind of sticks in the brain a little bit. And that's why you are welcome to grab some Play-Doh as you go out. Maybe that lives next to your desk. Maybe that lives somewhere where it can remind you. And maybe we could become people that engage in this process of God shaping us and molding us. So one real quick tool that I've started using, maybe it's helpful for you, maybe it's not, okay? But in discipleship groups or in situations where I've got a group of people gathered together where we are trying to grow and follow God, we have started using this tool of what I call I will statements. And they're on these little sticky notes that are all around you. I don't leave those out just so that I can write things down, right? This is for us as a church. But what it is, an I will statement is just this one sentence action point. Because we studied this, I'm going to do this. Because I learned that God is faithful, I'm going to be faithful in this relationship this way this week. And when we get really specific, and this isn't about some sort of, you know, like karmic, works-based, whatever. This is just, let's get really specific. What are we going to do to follow Jesus this week? And then what's really cool is that next week, when I gather with my little group, our very first question is, how did that go? How did that go? Because how many times have we done this as church people? Like, I got so many journals where it's like, ooh, I need to be very different. And then I go through my life. Monday happens. Did I do that thing? No. I come back to it 2 years later, and I'm like, oh, that would have been really helpful. If I apologized to that person, that would have been really good. And so maybe we can adopt some concrete habits of being different. Maybe we can submit ourselves to God molding us. What if we were a church that took action steps to follow God in obedience to the direction of His Spirit? What if we could look back in June and you're like, whoa, these are how many action steps I've taken. In September, whoa, look, these are the things that I've been doing to follow Jesus. Some of them worked, some of them didn't. What if we look back and we say, God, You're molding us into something pretty cool. What if we could be workmanship? Let's pray. Father God, we invite You to push us and change us. God, we ask You to show us just some concrete steps we could take to be open to the way that You're shaping us. Jesus, be with us. In Your name.